Aloha kakou. Welcome to Kauai Community Radio's Talk Story. Talk Story, the la'o in Hawaiian, translates loosely as reminiscing and communicating. Kawai Kapu'u Kalani Hewitt happily admits he's a study in contrasts. His name means sacred waters from the heavens, yet he's a modern man with an earthy sense of humor. Raised in a very traditional Hawaiian family, he attributes his talents to his genealogy and to his teachers. Special recognition is given to Auntie Edith Kanaka'ole, who taught him the traditional method of composing Hawaiian song and chant. He says his songs are composed to perpetuate not only the language and dance of the Hawaiian people, but to perpetuate the underlying values embodied by the ancient Hawaiians. As a composer of over 95 songs and chants, Kawai has won the prestigious Nā Hoku Hanohano Award 5 times. Let's catch up with this fascinating gentleman as he talks story with KKCR's own Manu Lele.
How did you begin? Your family was rich in the Hawaiian traditions and your background with your kupuna.
I was very, very fortunate because I started writing poetry in English in the 4th grade. I went to a Catholic school in Kaneohe. It was St. Anne's. And I can remember the first line because the nuns sent all my poetry to the newspaper. And this was when President Kennedy was assassinated. And I'll recite the first time. It says, "People die day after day. But when a president dies, it's just not the same way. Like Lincoln and like Garfield, they both died of a gun. And today, America loses another son." In the 4th grade, I wrote that. And they sent it to the newspaper. And every time I wrote poetry in Catholic school, they sent poetry, my poems, to the newspaper. And because I have this close relationship to all of my music and my songs and my poetry, when I recite them, I still get very emotional because I relive at that moment all the emotions that went into writing them. Then I, again, was raised by my grandmother. And she spoke the Hawaiian language fluently. And she inspired me to write. And my grand aunts and my grand uncles. Remember, I came from a time where many people did not learn the Hawaiian language and were not encouraged to learn it. It was about 1972 that this great renaissance began taking place, where everybody wanted to connect to Hawaii through language, through hula, and through a lot of things. So my grandmother would always work with me on my poetry because composing in the Hawaiian language is a little different. There are certain techniques, and the most important is a word called kauna, where there is a little translation, and then there is a hidden meaning to the poetry. And so if I gave you like the literal translation of Kapilina, it would never be what I just told you. But because I am the composer of the song, everything else that I explained to you is exactly what I put into that mele or that song. It's like Kawailehua. Kawailehua goes like this. Ke ihola ka'ua halihali na lehua o luna. Okay. The rain is falling, bearing lehua blossoms from above. Helele ipua ike kai, hulale anale hua I kamuana. So the petals are falling over the surface of the sea and dancing on the waves. He kupalaka ua ike kai, ke ho iho e aloha mai. So that verse talks about evaporation. The waters of the ocean are evaporated into the sky, they form the rain clouds, the rains fall. It's a cycle of the rain. He mele no e ku'ulani, kawaile hua ala kahunua. This is a song for my dearest one, or my heavenly one. And it was written for, you know, a little baby. And her name is kawaile hua ala kahunua. That's a literal translation. There you have it. But that's nothing about what the song is about. Ke ihola ka'ua halihali nale hua o luna. He's talking about conception. how, when conception takes place within the womb, the menstrual blood stays there to nourish the egg. Now, if that had not taken place, there would be a flow. But because it has taken place, it's not. Everything is remaining there, not only to secure, but to nourish that fetus. Second verse. Helele ipua ike kai hulalea nalehua ikamawana. After time, right? And as the fetus grows, yeah, what happens is there's movement. And the child begins to shift here and there. So, I say the lehua is dancing on the waves, but it's this baby now moving in the embryonic fluid, which is salt water. So, like the flower, it's swimming through the motions in the water. He kupalaka ua I ke kai ke ho'i ho e aloha mai speaks about, again, procreation. That our existence and our continuity is dependent on procreation. And like the cycle of the rain perpetuates the environment, it also perpetuates us, because without water we cannot survive. But the key to all life is liquid. No matter what, it's going to be liquid. You know, when that moment of conception, there was some liquid there. And as a child is nourished, there was some liquid there. It's called vai. And as it's swimming in the water, there's some liquid there. And before the child is born, it's like a rainfall. It just bursts forth. And then what happens? The child is born. That's what that song is talking about. Nobody will ever get it. Now they will, because I explained it. And the honua is the fetus itself. So I give honor to that whole process. This is Kawai Lihua Aala Kama. Hali hali nale hua oruna e kei hola kaua hali hali Le a na le hua I ka moana Helele I pua I ke kai Pula le a na le hua I ka hoi hou e aloha mai e kupala kaua I ke kai ke hoi Vai le hua
honua.
Usual composer that way. You want the kona to be understood. Isn't there a time when songwriters didn't feel that way? They wanted it to be kept secret?
Kona is a tradition, and it's really up to the composer. I mean, after writing the song in the about 1978 or 79, I never told this story, but now it's okay. But then that's my choice, right, to share the story. This is why I choose to compose for this time. Understanding now more so with maturity how the traditions are with our people, I can just imagine all those old composers and all the melee that they left for us, that we really don't understand them. We really don't understand them. And I was asked recently why I choose not to research those old melee and bring them back to life. And I said very plainly, nobody said I could. What did I mean by that? How will I ever know the true translation? Because the authors of all these old melee are dead. They're long gone. That's just like playing with fire. And most people who play with fire get burned. So what I choose to do, because I understand, is I write my own. And I tell people while I'm alive, I'm more than willing to share with you. And even if I cannot share with you, you can still use my song. Because it came from my mouth. I said, you can use my song. Without culture, that's very important. It's called kuleana. It belongs to someone. They should give you permission. Because we cannot say we believe in our traditions and not truly practice them. If we're going to say we believe in the tradition of kuleana, then it reflects every aspect of our lives, and we need to practice it. Not when it works for us, when it makes tradition pono.
Kiaka Kanahele.
Mm-hmm. Kiaka Kanahele was a renowned, in her time, hula master. And many hula schools today take their lineage back to her. My teacher, who was Auntie Emma DeFries, was known for being a kahuna and a healer. Very few people, other than her hula sisters, knew that she unikid, graduated from Kiaka Kanahele. When I first went to study hula, my aunt sent me to go and study with Iolani Luahine. Although Iolani could not teach me because she was getting ill at that time, she remained to be a mentor. Then my aunt sent me to go to Hoakale Kamau'u. And for some reason at that time, Hoakale Kamau'u couldn't teach me. So my aunt said, you know what? I'll teach you. And I began learning with her. So I learned from her that tradition of Kiaka Kanahele. And I studied with her for over 10 years. I also took chanting for a year from Auntie Edith Kanaka'oli on the Big Island. But my hula came from Auntie Emma DeFries.
So you've composed about 89 songs. It must be much more at this time.
I think it's more.
It's much more at this
I
time.
I think it's more.
And it was the Kawaii Hua that won you your first prestigious Nahoku Hanohano Award.
1981,
I need to congratulate you on this last Nahoku Hanohano. You won again.
This year, 2001,
right.
Kapilina got an award for Song of the Year. And so I'm very, very happy. Hele is a beautiful story. I like love stories because they impart the uniqueness of our people's hearts back then and how we really are today. No different. Time, we're in 2001, that's the only difference. But in this story of Ku'awe Hele, Pele on the big island of Hawaii travels down to the sea, and there she begins to relax. And before she falls asleep, she warns her family. She says, nobody is to wake me. For whatever reason, nobody is to wake me. But if someone should have to wake me, she says, let it be my younger sister, Hiaka Ikapolio Pele. And the family agrees, and she falls off to sleep. And then she dreams, and she hears the beating of drums. And she follows the beating of drums, and then they become nose flutes. And she follows this magical sound from island to island, trying to find the source. The melodies lead her to the island of Kauai, to Ke'e. And there at Ke'e, the music stops. But then she hears chanting, and she follows the sound of that chanting. And it's a hula performance. And the dancer is Lohiau from Kauai. And she looks at the chief, and he looks at her, and they fall in love immediately. Immediately. And they stay together for a while. But she's in her spirit form. And she really cannot consummate this union. So she says to him, I'm going to leave, I'm going back home. But I'll send someone for you. If the person that comes for you is a man, do not go. But if the person that comes for you is a woman, then you have to follow her. And that woman was Hiaka Ikapolio Pele. But the song focuses on the farewell. So she says, a very traditional kind of way of writing in poetry, I stand to go, you stay. I return to my land, it is Puna. Then she says, ha'alele akuau I ha'e ha'e me oe kahalia ka'u aloha. I depart for ha'e ha'e with you shall be the fond memories of the love that we shared. That part of that verse in the poem is important because, see, the word ha'e ha'e is an area on the big island of Hawaii. And Pele is very familiar with that area, as well as with Puna. But that was put there for a specific purpose because ha'e ha'e alludes to the deep emotions that the two of them are going through at that time. And it's a play on the sound because ha'i ha'i means to tear. Ha'e ha'e is deep emotion. And words are magical in our language. So when she says ha'alele akua I ha'e ha'e me oi kahalia aka'u aloha, she's really saying that this having to leave him is so hard on her. It's like it's tearing at her heart. And all she can leave with him is the memories of her. Nothing more. I mean, that's like enduring love, right? Okay. Then she says, Huliawe hele e alia oe ahiki iki aulani hevahine'e. So she says, I'm turning now. And to turn and face your back to someone, you never want to do that because it signifies that leaving. And for her to just turn, and people may think, that's so simple, she's just turning, but no, in our tradition, when you say goodbye and you turn, that signifies you are leaving. And in a situation like this, two lovers, it's hard. We've all been there. We all understand what those feelings are. But I'm trying to put it in words to, again, reflect what they're going through. Then she says, you wait, and she will come. This Aulani, this heavenly movement, this heavenly messenger, it was her own sister, whom she trusted, to fetch him for her. Finally, the last verse says, and then you'll return to me, my beloved. And there, in the beauty of Kilauea, you and I will be one. But guess what? It never happens. This moment was their destiny, you see. And the song is saying, take advantage of it now, because tomorrow may be too late. And in this story, they do not come together again. And how sad, because the moment was lost. The moment was lost. That great love that they had for one another was not to be ever. You see how destiny is? Sometimes it's there right before us and we can't even see it.
Thank you.
return to Talk Story with Kawai Kavuo Kalani Hewitt after your station identification.
The movement for Hawaiian sovereignty, do you have a position in that? I know that you've officiated a lot of openings and you've represented Hawaiian groups and sovereignty movements in the United Nations, Tribal Council. You were an official ceremonial chanter there. What's your stand on the Hawaiians as they move into this need for sovereignty?
When I think about sovereignty, I think about two things. One is spirit. We are not yet one people, united in one spirit. We are not. And if we are going to get to a place that will allow us to be sovereign, then it can only be done through the spirit. And I speak about Akua, God. We talk about this great word, pono. My pono, your pono, our pono, the pono of the aina. That's good talk, but we have to live it. Pono reflects the right time, right place, everything in the natural order, past, present, future, spirit, mind, body, akua, aina, kanaka. Respectful, not disrespectful. And then comes the second thought, which is reflective of the word pono, and that is, if we were all pono, healthy in mind, spirit, and body, then we would not be at the top of every disease list. Cancer, diabetes, hypertension. We would not be at the top of the list for abuse. We would not be at the top of the list in the prison systems or the juvenile systems. We would not. So we need healing. And we really, truly have to know who we are. And that's what the proverb says. You only have the middle section of the fish. Where's your head and where's your tail? And for me, that's all I would like to share. That's my view on sovereignty. And then again, there's destiny. And if it's meant to be, regardless of what we all say, it's going to happen. And if it's not, we have to accept it. In the meantime, make contributions. Give to this life, to this world, to this land, to our gods, because we say we do. So give.
There's a proverb here that you quote, Ike aku ike mai.
Ike aku ike mai.
Koko aku koko mai.
Right. Ike aku, that's ike aku ike mai. Now, ike is to see. Ike is also to understand. The proverb says, recognize and be recognized. That's our tradition. But it's greater. It's saying, when someone gives you ike, which is wisdom, whenever you speak about the wisdom, you mention their name. You honor them, and by doing so, you honor yourself. That's our true tradition. And you heard me speak about my teachers, because our tradition says I must. And when I do that, I honor them than I honor myself. Because in truth, I claim nothing. My talent, my training, what I know came from my teachers. So I honor them all. That's not a tradition practice generally, but people should always remember who taught you. Aloha aku, aloha mai. It's love. Love and do the best you can. Contribute and do the best you can. And that's all we can do. There's no tradition that says to be angry. There's no tradition or olelo no iao that says to be jealous or to hate. There isn't any olelo no iao. In fact, there's one that says, okahuhu kamea iho ola oleai. Out of anger is born no life. The opposite of that one says, o ke aloha kamea iho olai, that aloha bears life. So, what can we say?
Tell us about ka ililau ke koa.
Ka ililau o ke koa speaks about the chiefest ka ililau o ke koa. How during the night, she was in a sense courted by the chief Ka'ua Kahiali'i with the magical, mystical sounds of the Ohehano Ihu, the nose flute. And so finally one night, she decided to follow the sounds because she never did see him. And she kept going further and further and further up into the mountains until she came to Pihanakalani. And at Pihanakalani is where she met for the first time Ka'ua Kahiali'i. And the two of them, of course, were united in marriage. And maybe the ancestors of people here on the island of Kauai. But it's a beautiful story, you know, of how love is so unique in our islands. And why would it not be? When you look outside, everything is so beautiful. Think about the beauty in the trees and the flowers and the waters and the wind. And then think of our kupuna. Think of their lives. Think of their traditions. When I write, again, this kind of poetry, I consider all of that, yeah, and I put it into the mele. And in this song, Ka ililau o ke koa. It's a kind of a playful song because I wrote it specifically for young people and incorporated the piapa, a-e-i-o-u heke la munu pive, our alphabet, into the song. Aue, aue, ke aloha e. Aue, aue, ke aloha a. Munu pive.
honoa ka uwa e. Aue ka pili e, o ka pili honoa ka uwa e. Aue, aue,
aue, aue,
ka pili e. Aue, aue,
aue, aue,
ka pili a e. I o u e ke la munu pive. Aue ka pili e, o ka pili honoa ka uwa e.
Who is Kalao Kahaku?
Kalao Kahaku was a student of mine while I was working at the hotel, the Royal Lahaina Hotel on the island of Maui. And I started working there many, many years ago. And he was from the island of Kauai. And he came to me and told me that his grandfather told him that I was going to be his teacher. And his grandfather, Levi Kapahulehua, told him that if anybody knew anything about Hawaii, that you need to go and see that man. And I never met him before. I never met his kupunakane, Levi Kapahulehua. So what happened then is that he started working in the hotel as a security guard. And one day out of the clear blue sky, he told me the story of what his grandfather said. And he asked if, you know, he could be my student. And of course I said no. And he asked me for like three consecutive months. And for 3 months I said no. Because I didn't, truthfully, that's a big responsibility. But after 3 months, seeing how intent he was, how serious and dedicated he was, I finally consented. And so I trained with him until he died in a motorcycle accident. I forget what year it was. And I have so many students, and each one is like my own. If I didn't give, there would really be no purpose. It's just my nature. I cannot do anything other than that.
Which brings us to the last song, if you would. Kaulana Kainoa A'o Hanale.
I love Hanale. It's beautiful. And as we're driving here today, and I could see Namolo Kama, and I have to sing that song because it honors Namolo Kama. You know, when I've had the opportunity to come here, I'm always fascinated by the waters. Waters are so important, right? Vai is water. Vai means rich with water. A depository is called a vaihona. Spirit is called vailua. There's always a pilino, a connection to the word vai, water. Vai olu, comfortable. Vai pahe, smooth. Beautiful words. Here in Hanalei, there's an abundance of water. So there would be then, in ancient times, as well as now, abundance of kalo and other kinds of food plants. That richness, yeah, for me, is always a reminder of the past, of the present, and then again of our future. Because without that water, where would we be? We have to remember we're called the people Hawaii, the ha, the breath, the continual breath. But it reflects the mo'okuau hao, the genealogy of Haloa. Haloa that was born as a kalo. And then the second Haloa that was born as the father of mankind. And then you have vai. Vai. Ka vai ola kane. The life-giving waters of the god Kane. Kane who created salt water, fresh water, sunlight. All things, right? That we need for our physical growth and our spiritual growth. And then you have I. Kalaninui I amamau. The last chief through whom we have the Kumulipo chant. So we have the ha, the vai, and the i. The ha from haloa, the vai from kane ika vai ola, and the i from kalaninui i amamau. Hawaii. So when I come to Hanalei and I see the vai, I'm always reminded of these proverbs and how it was taught by my kupuna wahine. So when I see the molokama, my eyes was all lit up this morning driving to come to the radio station. And I was telling Snooki, oh, it's a good song to sing. Kaulana ka'inoa o Hanalei. Famous is the name of Hanalei. You know, hepakika kahilimo o manua kepa. And the slippery limu of manua kepa. Ameka vai lele a ona molokama. Kani uina, uina na kolo ina pali. And the waterfalls of Namolokama just rumbling and resounding up into the cliffs.
Love so much and so many, and you dedicate these beautiful songs to them. And that's one of the unique things about the Hawaiian culture and how precious the Hanai system is. These are your adopted children. Mm-hmm. The songs you've written them are so beautiful and so heartfelt. I don't know of any other culture that's as encompassing to the children or the Kekioka Aina as the Hawaiian people are. I think we can be proud of that.
I think many cultures are. I think we just have a uniqueness about the way we do it. Yeah. It's really, really unique. How I really do feel that we are cognizant of future with our children. I really do believe that. Many, many families. You know, and simply, when we eat dinner, children always eat first. It's not that way in many cultures. Adults usually eat first. But with Hawaiian culture, you notice the children all eat and the adults sit on the side. What is left is what we eat. We eat what is called the koina. When we were young children, my grandparents, after they cooked a meal, they sat back and they talked story while we ate. We ate till we were full, and when we left the table, what was left, they referred to it as the koina. And my grandfather always said, the koina is for me. I would just eat what's left. When I think back about it, that's very unique to the way our people are. Of course, so many things have been introduced from that time to this time. But I do believe that our traditions will live on. Just give us a time. You know, we're going through a shaky time now because there's drugs and there's alcohol and all kinds of things that are deterring our people and many people. But I'm an optimist, yeah? And I know goodness will always prevail. And that's what aloha is. Knowing that there will always be good, there will always be sharing, and that in time, everything will reflect aloha. Hevai vai nui kapono na kupunae. Hevai hanai no na ohae. O lake kalo I kawaiye. Pu ali ali I kawai ole. O lakaha, o lakawai. O lakai. E ola nu e na palilie. E ho mai kawai, e inu kakou e. E na kini lani, e na kini honua. E ho o maluia, ka vai ka bu o kalanie. And the words say that the knowledge of our kupuna is like an abundance of fresh, clean water. It is the water that nourishes the young of the kalo. And the proverbs say that when the kalo is nurtured with clean, fresh water, it grows to be strong. But when that water is unclean, the kalo then grows misshapen. So then it says, let us all drink of this good, clean, fresh water. Let us all partake in the goodness of our culture, the pono. So that the next generation will have this enlightenment. Finally, it says, please, let the host of heaven and the hosts of the earth protect forever our water. This is Kawaii Hua Ala Kama. Hali hali nale hua oruna.
KKCR would like to thank Kawai Kavu'u Kalani Hewitt for joining us on this edition of Talk Story. Talk Story was produced by Mary Cunning and engineered by Dean Rogers in the studios of Kauai Community Radio. The artist biography was written by Charlene Dyer and narrated by Noel Brooks. Kawai Kapu'o Kalani Hewitt was interviewed by Manu Lele. For more information on KKCR, you can log on to www.kkcr.org. Ahui ho, until we meet again.
Kawaii.